In the gospel, Jesus gives a command that the disciples, us as well, need to pray at all times without becoming weary. And he gives us a parable. Prayer is obviously essential to the life of a Christian. There's really four different ways to consider prayer. Prayer is conversation with God, the way in which we grow in our relationship with him. It can really be put into four different categories. The first is adoration, that we're just sitting in his presence, we're giving praise, we're giving glory to God. The second is contrition. We're saying we're sorry for certain things. One is most noticeably in the sacrament of penance. So we're saying sorry for certain things. The third is thanksgiving. We're being thankful. Say, you know, thank you for these blessings. Thank you for all these good things. And the last is what's called supplication, or also known as petitionary prayer. It's probably the most common form of prayer. Whenever we consider prayer, most of us are in petitionary prayer. We're asking for certain things. We say, you know, please keep us safe on this drive. Keep my children safe. You know, please help me feel better. And when we consider it, it is the most common form of prayer. Sometimes it can be quite juvenile. I find myself throughout the day laughing at the certain things that I ask in prayer. Sometimes it's quite silly. The other day I was just out hunting, and I was praying to God that I would see some more pheasants. And it can be, and I caught myself, and I'm like, you know, maybe that's not the holiest form of prayer. Maybe I can think of something a little bit better. But as silly or as juvenile as it can be, it's still an essential part of prayer. Us being able to ask things of God is an essential part of prayer. Jesus says, whoever asks things in my name will receive it. So he wants us to. In the gospel, we hear of this widow who's incredibly persistent, who keeps asking for things. And speaking of almost juvenile things, in the first reading, we hear of Moses, who's in battle with Amalek. So Amalek was a guy who was in the promised land when the Israelites were trying to come. So most theologians have considered the people who were in the promised land when the Israelites came. This is a historical story, but it's also symbolic for our lives as well, that there are these temptations, these problems in which we must overcome in order to get to our promised land as well, just as Moses. So Moses, the story of him is he keeps his hands in the air. And as long as his hands are in the air, they're winning. So he was kind of like the little widow who was incredibly persistent in prayer. He's kind of like probably me this afternoon. Whenever we watch a sporting event, we're praying, let our team win. And that's what Moses was kind of praying. He was praying that the Israelites would be successful. And they were. So even though our petitionary prayer sometimes can seem rather silly, rather juvenile, it's still incredibly important. Jesus gave us this teaching on it. And if you think about it, I don't know why we do it. Why do we have petitionary prayer? If God is all-knowing, then he knows what I desire. He knows what I'm going to ask for. Not only does he know what I'm going to ask for, but he knows the result of it. If I'm praying that I may get this job, he knows whether or not I'm going to get the job. Me praying to God for it is not going to change his mind. He's not going to say, oh, since you asked for it, therefore I'll give it. It's already made up. We're not going to convince him to change his mind. So why do we do it? What's the point of petitionary prayer? I think there are two reasons why we do it. The first is that this desire, this request, is better made known to us. Oftentimes, we don't know it ourselves. And it is good for us to be able to articulate it in prayer so that we're more knowledgeable of what we're actually asking for. And the second, probably most important, is that this act of petitionary prayer develops a relationship with God. It develops a relationship with God so that we can understand that our will needs to be more united with God's will. And in this petitionary prayer, we grow in a relationship with God so that our wills may come together. There's a lot of famous saints, and I guarantee you, every single saint practiced petitionary prayer. I guarantee it. Every single saint asked God for something. The most common saints that I use whenever I preach, just because they're so familiar to us, Mother Teresa, John Paul II. I know John Paul II, in his private chapel, which he would spend hours in every single day, he had a kneeler, and the kneeler had little sheets of paper that were overflowing with requests for prayers, for petitionary prayer. So every single day, he would go through these, and he would pray for these people, asking something for God on behalf of that individual. John Paul II practiced petitionary prayer. And if you look at these incredible saints, not one of them became disappointed when they thought that their petitionary prayer, their request, wasn't answered. John Paul II, whenever he would pray every single day about this, and let's say for some reason it became clear that this request was not being answered, he did not become discouraged. Why? Because the point is us uniting our will with God's will. It's us trying to understand what God wants for us. Frustration in prayer comes from when we demand to have the knowledge of God. We demand to know what is happening in this situation. Why did I not get that job when I prayed for it? When we ourselves are limited in our own human knowledge. We don't know the grand scope of things. We don't know why that wasn't answered. And yet we're demanding to have the knowledge of God in these situations. Whenever I have a mass for the little kids, I've preached to them this multiple times, I always say that God does not say no to your prayers. He will never say no to your prayers. If you have a request, God, please give me this job, he will not say no to it. He only has three responses in which he gives to your prayers. One is yes. You know, you need this job. This job was given. This is an answer to your prayer. The second is not right now. And that one can be a little frustrating because in our minds we think, I need this. I want this. And God is saying, it's not the right time. Maybe later. And the last answer is, I've got something better. The first is yes. The second is not right now. The third is, I've got something better. And that can also be frustrating because we think that this job is what I need. We think that this is what needs to happen. When in reality, God, who knows everything, who puts everything into consideration, knows that there is something better, that this job isn't God's will for you right now. So when we do go to prayer, let us understand that we need to hopefully unite our wills to God so that this frustration doesn't happen, that whatever God's will is where we will become most happy, most fruitful. It's where we will become most holy. In Mass, we have petitions every single Mass. We ask God of certain things every single Mass. And the prayer that I say at the end is, God, please answer these prayers if they are in accord with your will. Because it is only if they're in accord with God's will in which we'll become happy. So, petitionary prayer is incredibly important, but it can't be the only form of prayer. Imagine if you had a relationship with someone, you had a friendship with someone, and your only communication with them is asking things of them. You're constantly burdening them, asking certain things of them. That friendship wouldn't be a lot of fun, especially if you're the one that's constantly giving. But if you're in a relationship with someone in which you truly love them, you understand that you have a great relationship, you have each other's best interests at heart, and they come to you with a request saying, hey, can you help me? You wouldn't think twice. You'd go out of your way to help them. It's the same way in our prayer, that as we grow in this relationship with God, he understands our desires, we understand his desires, and this petitionary prayer becomes a lot easier because our wills are being united with his. So when we go to prayer, let us understand that we are not called to be fruitful. Our prayer is not measured based on whether or not our request is answered. That's not how our prayer is measured. We are not called to be fruitful. We are called to be faithful. Your prayer is measured on whether or not you were there, whether or not you show up to the times that you committed to prayer. Because we don't necessarily know if they're fruitful. They could be down the line. We don't know. prayer is not measured whether or not it's fruitful. It's based on if you're faithful. Petitionary prayer is important, but it can't be the only form of prayer. So if you do have a good self-examination, you understand this is basically all my prayer is. I encourage you to look at the other forms of prayer. Consider times of adoration. We have it at our church. Other churches in town have moments of adoration. Consider praying an act of contrition, saying you're sorry for something. Or when good things happen to you, give God an act of thanksgiving, a prayer of thanksgiving. So find these different modes of prayer, but also understand that petitionary prayer is very important. And lastly, through this, let us unite our wills to God so that we may understand that His will is what is best for us, that through petitionary prayer, we're trying to understand His will so that we can request what He wants for us, so that we can become better Christians and grow in our relationship with Him.